Welcome to Business Integrity Matters, a show that applies God's word to your work, discussing business basics and encouraging you to live out your faith Monday through Friday. Check out our complete schedule, practical business tools, and much more at businessintegritymatters.com. Now, get ready to build trusted organizations and enduring legacies by applying God's truth to your work with Business Integrity Matters. And now, here's your host, Bradley Waldrop.
Hey, well, good morning. I finally made it. I figured it out. We had some gremlins in the machine. However, we are here. We are back. And for those of you who know, it's been a long time in the making here to get back onto a platform quite like this so that we could be building into business owners, entrepreneurs, faithful workers. We have the same mission in mind with a slightly different set of tools as well as a slightly different focus. Where we're going to be leaning into many more of the faithful worker side of the studies and resources and other things. So if you're an owner, great. We love to have you here, and there's a whole bunch of material for you. If you're an entrepreneur, same thing. If you are a faithful worker, welcome to the family, because until just recently, this really hasn't been much of a focus. And what I've realized is that we really need to be able to deliver on that kind of material for you. So thank you very much for being here. We are kicking off the creation era in this particular podcast. And in this particular podcast, I will say that the format is going to be slightly different than it will be in the future. We are working through a series of bugs here. We have a queue of individuals who have expressed interest in coming on as guests, which I absolutely adore. I think it's a wonderful thing. And if you are live within the chat if you are live within the Facebook group of Business Integrity Matters, I would highly recommend you sort of put everything down and get a chance to participate with me over the next, half an hour or so as we get through this material in Genesis 1 through 4. If you would like to participate in the conversation, simply sending a text message, or not a text message, but a chat message inside the Facebook group, Business Integrity Matters, gets it to me, and I get a chance to interact with you a little bit. And I'm really, really hoping that we get a chance to do more of that. So please feel free to drop in comments as you need to, or as you feel led to, as you feel like you want to participate, we want you to be here. The format of today, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of give you a background of what Genesis 1 through 4 is, and then I'm going to dive into a series of questions that are pretty regular for me, and I wanted to just get you guys answers to those kinds of questions. And then if you would, for me, there are a couple things that could be really helpful for you. First, the Facebook group we're talking about, Business Integrity Matters. Go in there and search for it, and we'll let you in. I mean, unless you misbehave, then we won't let you in. It's kind of up to you. However, we're hoping to let you in. And then if you wouldn't mind also going to businessintegritymatters.com, registering for a free account. That free account is going to give you direct access to more narrative on some of the backbone information that goes into this study that is different than and in addition to what you would normally get just by reading the public blog. There's member-only content in there. And then over time, we have already started building in, and we are going to continue to build in areas for faithful workers, business owners, entrepreneurs, that they, for them to be able to have direct access to the tools that they need to go through their Bible study, the Bible study being Business Integrity Matters. So that just sort of sets the table for us for today, and we're going to jump on to the Genesis 1 through 4. And in particular, let me sort of set the tone for you a bit just so you understand where we are. And if you haven't had a chance to go back and reread Genesis 1 through 4, I would highly recommend that you do that. I would encourage you to do that. It's enlightening to begin with, and it's a neat place to start. It starts in the very beginning. of creation, right? And so we have some major characters and some major big theme, big ideas in here. Genesis 1, the creation itself. We end up with the creation of God and the universe and now the earth and a functional earth, right? So everything from separating light from dark, from water to air, air to soil, and then planting and including animals and including humans, and the humans are Adam and Eve. So here we are, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and then we end up with Cain and Abel, who are Adam and Eve's children, and the battle of Cain and Abel and the unfortunate murder of Abel by Cain, and then the repercussions after that. So that sort of sets the table for where we are in the creation era. And we have more episodes that are going to be covering the creation era. The creation era goes all the way from Genesis 1 all the way through Genesis 11. So there's lots of material. It is sort of a lot to take in. What I had hoped to do, and this will be kind of the pattern unless something changes over time, is there's a series of blog posts, series of content that have been produced and put into the world, whether it be in Facebook or Twitter or on the blog. I'm trying to summarize the big ideas that have occurred during the week on the weekends in a format that you can absorb no matter where you are, what you're doing, put in some headphones, connect to a Bluetooth speaker, connect to your smart car or whatever, and you're good to go, right? And so the hope is that you don't have to be sitting in front of a computer in order to consume the information, to get the encouragement that you need, get some guidance and get some support, and then maybe hear some funny stories or sad stories or happy stories along the way. And my hope is that as I bring in the guests, you're going to hear some of those stories in a way that are going to be really profound for you, good examples of what God is doing in other people's lives, and really, how are we telling God's story through our work? So with all of that, let's go ahead and get started. I have a series of questions that are a part of the sort of common, frequently asked questions about this era that I get pretty regularly. And so I'm just going to do what I can to hammer through all of them. I have to be honest with you. There's a whole bunch of them in here. I think I have about 12, 13 questions. And I'm not known for being the most succinct speaker in the planet. I tend to ramble on a little bit. My hope is that you'll be patient with me as I ramble here, because I think some stories are really helpful. And some of my experiences, while they are certainly not the end all be all, and you all probably have some amazing stories. I know you have some amazing stories on your own. You've probably been witness to some funny behaviors along the way. I have been in this world pretty regularly since about 2010, trying to understand how to apply God's word to work. So bear with me. It's about 13 years worth of funny stories, and there's stories before then that sort of set the stage for it. And there will be stories on a pretty regular basis. I am going to do everything I possibly can to keep some of the very contemporary stories out of the podcast, because I don't want to breach any sort of trust that I have with folks that I currently work with, interact with along the way. There might be times in which I am incredibly vulnerable to tell you about the mistakes I'm making right now, and I'm okay with that. I don't want to be okay with doing that with other people. So, bear with me as we get going through here, and then pop into the chat into businessintegritymatters.com on Facebook, and let me know what you think. Let me know what your comments are, questions, concerns, any of that. And we'll do what we can to get through all of this. And like I said, I'm gonna go ahead and be paying very close attention to the chat that's possible in the group. So if you do have something that you would like to discuss, then let's go ahead and discuss it. Okay. For now, then the first question that I have is, can you help us understand the significance of the creation era in the Bible, particularly in Genesis 1 through 4? For Christian business owners and workers. Okay, so remember the themes that I was talking about in the very beginning. We have The theme, the first theme in here is that we've got the creation, and in the creation, we have a very clear understanding that the creation is, God at work. And God has created us in His image. So many people, I think, sort of struggle. What does it mean to be a creator? And for business, so here are some of the parallels and the significance of these chapters. Chapter one, you're a creator. Whether you believe it or not, you are a creator. And I want you to be able to lean into that. In Adam and Eve, the theme there is a very personal relationship with God and a strong relationship at home, as well as a concern that there could be temptation and untruths that are being said in a way that tempt you to make choices that are sinful behavior that are up against us all. And then in the Cain and Abel story, I would suggest that the significance of that for business owners is to understand that work is worship, and that we have all kinds of ways to be able to worship, and our relationship with God is our relationship with God, and for us not to let the jealousy get in to that relationship, so that we're not pushing away God in the process, and we're not sinning in that behavior. So that is what I would suggest is, the first bit of the sort of takeaway in there. And then, the second question is, can you provide an example of a biblical principle from the creation era that can be directly applied to a workplace scenario? I absolutely can. Let's go ahead and let's start maybe in the very beginning with creation. A workplace scenario is that you are being asked either by your boss or by the Lord or someone to create something at work. Let's be clear about you creating. You're a creator, whether you are on YouTube or TikTok or Facebook Live or whatever it is, that's fine. That's one way to create, and that's a different new kind of creation. What I'm talking about is the stuff that I'm wearing, I had to consume, right? I had to buy this somewhere. Someone created this. Someone created this microphone, the camera, the headphones, the shirt I'm wearing, the glasses I have. Someone created that, but they also created services businesses that I get, utilities that I have, communication systems that I use. We are creating something all the time. I mean, everybody who works creates. Y'all are creating. And even if you're not working and you're at home, you're also creating, right? Yeah. You have recipes that you, I mean, on a daily basis, think about the things that you create. You create relationships, meals, you create an environment that people live in, you create a lot of things. And all of those creations have a series of steps and a series of decisions that need to be made. So a concrete example of a biblical principle is begin with the end in mind. Decide what you want this creation to support and build it that way, right? God didn't just willy-nilly create a world and then say, oh yeah, I think man would just be perfect here. He created the world with us in mind. How cool is that, right? You and me, He created that with us in mind. That is the same thing that we can do when we are creating. What is the experience that we want our customers to have? What is the relationship we want to have with our vendors? What is the solution we want to provide? And what is the end result, both physically and emotionally, that our customers deserve to get? What kind of experience at work or work environment should we have for our employees? Those are all direct examples of biblical principles of creation, right? So there is a very simple example. The next question would be, what are some common misconceptions about applying the principles from the creation era to business practices that you've encountered, that I personally have encountered? My encountering of these biblical truths are all they do is underscore the fact that we're fallible and God is not. Whenever I feel like, well, maybe I should have a really cool, creation, whatever it is, and a wonderful experience getting it created. I'm going to think through it. It's all going to be wonderful. And it's going to be rainbows, and it's going to be, fantastic. And we'll get, I guess we'll get to rainbows later, but it's a funny side story, I guess. Anyway, we're all in the same Bible, or the same book of the Bible. So my experience is that God has this really perfect blueprint, really perfect. And if you follow it to the T, you're still going to make mistakes. But making mistakes using his blueprint is fundamentally better, fundamentally faster, fundamentally more efficient than doing it on your own without his blueprint. All right, take a look at his blueprint. He's doing stuff in this creation era that's meaningful. And so I would suggest that one misconception is that you're going to hear, I think, pretty often, oh, you're a Christian and things come easy to you. Or, you have decided that you're going to follow God's plan, and so it's going to be perfect and going to be easy. The answer couldn't be further from the truth. There are so many stories along the way here of personal battles and this journey that people have been on, including me, that are hard. And they call into question our own judgment, our own ability to see clearly what God wants for us to do, who he wants us to be, what he wants our business to be, and not get in the way of all of that. I was having a conversation just last week with folks that, like, one act of obedience after another is kind of how this whole thing started a long time ago. And I'm more and more confident, as I continue to become more and more obedient. However, my obedience and my desire to control things are in constant conflict with one another. I am always trying to figure out how to get myself through all of this. Okay, so please understand, I am absolutely not perfect. And if you follow these principles, it's going to be easier than not following them. And for some of you, it's going to be perfectly great. And you're going to get through it and you go, oh, I don't know what all the, hubbub is about and all the drama. However, some of you are going to go, oh man, by doing this, I have to fundamentally change what it is I am doing. And this is not going to be easy. And those are the kinds of things that's sort of at the core of all of this, right? That could be one misconception that I want to sort of lay down right now and suggest that this is a journey you and I are on together. And jump in the group, talk about your journey, tell us what's going right, what's not going right, and ask for prayer, ask for guidance, and we'll do everything we possibly can to give you the support that you need to be successful in acting out God's plan in your work. Okay. And then the next question, how can Christian business owners and workers navigate the challenges of integrating their faith into their work, especially if they feel ill-equipped or not quite as biblically theological as the next? Okay, so this idea of biblical understanding and theology is a heck of a journey, and it's a heck of a journey that I want to make sure that you understand doesn't just happen like right now all by yourself. This is something that you're going to be struggling with, because we all struggle with it. However, if you pay close attention to what the Bible says, trying not to make it more complicated than it has to be, and then try to figure out, well, how do I apply that directly to my business or my work or an entrepreneurial journey, things will fundamentally change for you. If you're not paying attention to what God wants and what God's game plan is and what his blueprint is, then nothing's going to change. But as soon as you start to pay attention to it, it's going to sort of unravel a bit for you, and you're going to kind of start to see it. It's going to kind of ebb and flow a bit. So my recommendation in there is to start your study, start it small, but but don't expect that you're going to be a theologian at the end of it. We are all on this journey, and there are there are volumes and volumes and volumes of books that are written about one paragraph in the Bible about what it means and what it doesn't mean and the confusions of all of it. I don't want that to distract you from the bigger picture here. And the bigger picture here is that you, in particular for the creation era, you were created in God's image. You are a creator. He has a blueprint of what he did in order to create the world. I would like for you to be able to see that blueprint and follow through on it so that you can create something really cool. And in that coolness and in that creation, make it part of your worship to the Lord. That's what I want for you. And, you know, in order to understand the theology behind it, pay attention to this and jump into a group and pay attention to the group. Participate as needed. Ask questions along the way. And pray for God to reveal it to you. And you're going to be pretty amazed when you start to pray that way to say, hey, I'm staring at this text and I don't know what it means. Please help me out. And the Holy Spirit is there to do that for us. And the good part is that when that happens and you start to see, oh, well, that's what it means. And oh, this is what I can do with it. And this is how I would apply it to my life. And this is how I would apply it to my work. All of a sudden, it becomes very vibrant and very healthy and fun to be able to implement. Yet sometimes could be scary, but it doesn't have to be scary. All right, so let's go into the next question. Like I said, I mean, it could take forever to get through all of these questions, but we're gonna do it anyway. All right, the next one. What practical steps can someone take to honor God's word and apply biblical principles in the workplace, even if they feel overwhelmed by the complexities of running a business? Well, here's the beauty of it. The running of a business is complicated, right? I mean, let's just be very real. Every business has to go through this very similar things. And when you get inside a business integrity matter study, you're going to find that a lot of the support has to do with these things, all right? You as a business owner, you as an entrepreneur, you as an employee participate in one of generally five things that every business has to do. One is marketing and advertising, right? How do we get everyone to know who we are, what we do, and build awareness for the solution that we have, right? Everyone has marketing and advertising. Every single successful business, whether it be word of mouth advertising or pay-per-click or newspapers or letters or billboards, it doesn't matter. There's marketing and advertising in every successful business. The next one is promotions. The promotion is try before you buy. Like, how do we experience you without having to fork over a lot of cash and make a big risk? Okay. So that's try before you buy in the promotional piece. And then finally, the sales process. What is the sales process? That is exchanging money for value, right? Every single one of these businesses, they thrive on a sale somewhere. They are exchanging money for value. The fourth piece is fulfillment. You have to fulfill on the promise that you made during the sales process, right? So you, whether you're an owner, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a faithful worker, you are participating in the delivery of the products or services in which somebody exchanged value for. And then last, after sales care, how do you take care of your customer or your client after they've already signed the dotted line and given you some cash? What does that look like, right? So all of these are practical steps that we all have to include in running a business. That means it's complicated, right? Let's talk about the complications for a minute. Marketing and advertising, complicated in figuring out who you're marketing to. They're real people with real problems that can be complicated and complex. The promotion side, how do we inject this opportunity for people to be able to try us before they buy us and still be able to fundamentally get to the end here in you know, living out God's plan for the business, and then in the sales cycle, and then the same for fulfillment and after sales care. It is a complicated mess. There are lots going on. So if you are one of these individuals who are, you know, the entrepreneur, the owner, a leader, faithful worker. These are the things you're going to have to deal with, and it can get complicated. Here's the beauty of it, is that the more complicated it is, probably the more impact you're having on other people, and the opportunities are endless to be able to make some changes, reduce the amount of chaos that you currently have, and in the reduction of chaos or in the way you deal with the amount of stress that you're under, you get to show the grace and mercy that Christ has provided to you as a Christian. Right? This is where the rubber meets the road. Trust comes from three different things. It comes from massive, awesome skills that you have in order to deliver really amazing character. And this is exactly what I'm talking about, character when you're in the middle of chaos. And then a set of systems that fundamentally help people predict what to get, and they don't get sort of schizophrenic when they're trying to deal with you and your business and what it is you're providing and the people who are in on your team as well, right? So all of this chaos, what it does is it presents an opportunity for you to be able to show grace, mercy, patience, forgiveness, and all of these other core values that you have. And the way that you react to this kind of chaos and this busyness is going to fundamentally change how people interact with you. And it's going to fundamentally change what they believe is good about Christianity, right? So here we have these sort of very simple things, but it's complicated, all right? And I think that's a great opportunity. I'm looking forward to what God is going to do here on a study, if you choose to do the study, or in the small, you know, in Business Integrity Matters group on Facebook or over on the website. I have seen it over the last 10 years, how it has changed people and it has changed businesses in a way that sometimes we never predicted. I mean, absolutely never predicted. So all that to say, hang in there. I know you're overwhelmed. I really do. I know you're overwhelmed, but it's going to be okay. You're going to get through it. It's going to be fine. And we're going to do it together. Okay. Number 7, in what ways can the stories and concepts from the creation era be used to inspire and motivate Christian business owners and workers who may struggle with applying their faith in the workplace? Man, I don't know. Inspiration, motivation. Motivation is different for everyone. Inspiration is different for everyone. Here's what I know. Here's the exciting thing that I get to see. I get to watch God do some pretty cool things in businesses where in the very beginning, you think, oh my goodness, this is almost impossible. And then pretty soon you start to see the culture in the organization change, the attitudes toward customers change, the attitude toward money and wealth change, the attitude toward one another change. You start to see a makeup or an adjustment in partnerships or in vendor selections or material selections. All kinds of funny things happen in this process. And in the creation era, I think the cool part is that you are a creator. You have a chance to be able to use this really neat blueprint, and you get really credible, solid warnings of things to be careful of, right? So specifically, let's talk about what to be careful of. To be careful, so Eve, right, tempts Adam. And then God calls Adam on the carpet. Hey, man, what happened? Well, okay, I fell into the temptation. And what we see there is we see free will to choose God and to choose the truth versus not the truth and sort of giving in to our temptations. The inspiration here for me is that this gives you a chance to be able to look at your business and look at the decisions you're making and the feedback you're getting and provide a little bit of discernment about what's right, what's wrong, what's truthful, what's not. And then for you to be able to go back to God and just like Adam has these conversations in the garden with God, to be able to say, hey, this is what I'm hearing. Please tell me the truth. I want to know the truth. I need to know the truth. I want to be able to behave in a way that's fundamentally consistent with the truth. And you get a chance to have that relationship. It's going to be amazing. If you don't already have it, it's going to be amazing. The motivation here for me is for you to finally get to a point where you can merge your faith life with your work life in a way that stops you from feeling like you have to leave the Bible outside the office, in the car, before you walk in. I want you to have the confidence to know that the Holy Spirit is with you, that you are a Christian person who is a faithful person who believes and follows through on their belief in a way that is open, welcoming, and an amazing witness for Christ. You get a chance to do that. Most people, which is one of the reasons why I ended up in the middle of this study to begin with, and how we all ended up here, is I got frustrated because I couldn't figure out how to live two lives. I literally was living two lives. I was living one at work that said, oh yeah, there's a whole bunch of gray area here. And, you know, we don't really need to follow all the rules. We can kind of bend the rules as necessary and, you know, it'll be all right. And then I would get home and I would just feel horrible. I needed a shower. And I have had many, many jobs in which I've had felt like I needed a shower. And we'll talk about some of that stuff in a series of episodes later on. There'll be all kinds of fun stories. Okay. So the practical steps that you can take in what ways can stories and the concepts from the era be used to inspire and motivate you? You get a chance as a Christian to make a huge impact in your community, with your employees, with your vendors, with your customers, everybody who comes in contact with you. And my hope is that you're not surrounding yourself by just a whole bunch of Christians who all believe the same thing, because there's no impact for Christ that way. It's great because it provides you a nice, comfortable environment to be in. But I'm here to tell you that you're not going to grow, and you're not going to sort of reap the biggest benefits here unless you are uncomfortable. Today is the time to start to get to be uncomfortable. All right. And that's what's going to happen. The next question, this pretty common question: how do beginners in this sort of theological Bible study thing effectively study and understand the creation era for personal growth and application to their businesses? So if you are involved in the study, or you are, if you've picked up one of my books, right? So there's a bunch of books out there. If you pick up any of my books, toward the end of the book, generally speaking, toward the end of the book, there is a chapter on how I do my study. It's not the end all be all with everybody's study. It's a very simple thing. It is been modeled after a sort of system that I learned from one of my pastors many, many years ago. And it has a series of letters that are acronyms. And if you follow along in this way, it will help lead you to a point where it will be supportive in your journey. Okay. So the first is S for scripture: read. All right. Just pick up the Bible and start reading. And if I were you, I would kind of follow along with what the study is that we're doing here, just so that you get some support and some perspective on it. And I will tell you that every month we're going to be doing a new era. So we're in the creation era now. There will be some patriarchs and there will be some judges and so on and so forth. And you can get that sort of outline and an understanding from businessintegritymatters.com. You can get a overview of that. You could pick up Business Integrity Matters, the book. It will walk you through it as well. But that's what we're going to be doing on a pretty regular basis in this month. We're working on the creation era. Next month we're headed to the patriarch era, and we're just gonna keep moving. Okay, so we're moving from the beginning of the book to the beginning of the library, the Bible, to the end, and we will be practically applying stuff. So I would suggest first scripture: read it, in a way that you're just trying to understand the story. There's a whole bunch of stories here, and there, I get it. There's going to be places where you don't know who people are, what they're doing, and any of that stuff. And that's cool. We're going to do what we can to provide you some support in that. However, right now, read and follow along in the story. And then O is observation. Okay. So in observation, what that means is, what do you pick up from the story? What did you notice about the people, about the place, about the culture, about the choices, about the options, about the consequences, about all of that stuff, right? What are your observations, right? So you read the scripture. What did you observe? Start writing it down. Write it down. What did you observe? And then after you've observed, how do you apply that? Like, hey, I observed that God has this creation process. Well, how do I apply it? Well, if I'm going to apply somebody else's process to what I'm doing, well, maybe I wrote it down. Here's the process. And now I'm going to do this with my own business or my own, you know, project, whatever I'm working on. So we can apply it. And then the last one is P, prayer. Pray about it. God, I have studied, I've read more than one time, and these are the things I observed. Here's where I think you have asked me to apply it to my life. Please be clear about whether or not this is the application you want to see, and if this is the person you want me to be. And if that's the case, please support me in the process, right? May I understand it clearer and clearer. May I understand you clearer and clearer. May I see your face clearer and clearer regularly, right? So scripture, observation, application, prayer. Soap, spelled soap, pretty simple. So put some soap in your life and you're going to figure out how to get this study done. So those are that's what I would suggest in there is, how do you effectively study and understand? That's how you do it. That's how I do it. If you have a better way of doing it, then drop that into the comments in Business Integrity Matters, and maybe somebody else needs the support. And maybe there's a way that takes my idea and builds on it. Or maybe you say, hey, look, I don't think that way. That's how my brain works. And that's okay too. So, you know, provide some feedback and, you know, let's do this together. Now, next question. What message do you have for those who may feel discouraged or intimidated by the idea of incorporating biblical principles into their work due to the lack of their sort of biblical knowledge? I think it would probably be most appropriate for me to tell you a story. And you may have heard this story before, but I'm going to tell it again, and I'm going to tell it in a way that hopefully underscores the the discouragement that I have seen in my own journey, so that hopefully it provides you some encouragement in yours. Okay. So it can be very overwhelming to look at this massive book with all these words in it. Some are red, some are black, all kinds of footnotes. And what does it all mean? And just a very quick snippet. I grew up in a Lutheran church. I thought I understood my faith, but at the end of the day, it was much more academic in that I could find verses in the Bible. Okay. I could find them, and I could find them pretty fast. However, because we used to race, right? In not catechism, but in confirmation in the Lutheran church, I'd race through there, figure out where it was, but then find it. Well, there it is. I'm faster than you are. When I found it, I wasn't really saying, well, you know, what does it mean? I just said, I found it and I read it and there we are. Okay. So there's that kind of knowledge. And then there's sort of this practical knowledge. Like, what do you do with it? So in the year 2010, I sat down with a client of mine. So I'm a civil engineer. If you don't know that, practicing civil engineer, still do what I can to help out. And I will continue, I think, since my metamorphosis in the between 20, 2010 and 2014, I will say that I'm a recovering civil engineer because I've made lots of mistakes. I've done lots of stupid things. I have jumped to lots of different conclusions, and I have lived a different life. And I don't want to do that anymore. And so I'm sort of a recovering civil engineer. I still do math and physics and things like that, solve these problems, but differently. Anyway, in 2010, I sat down with one of my clients, took him to breakfast, and told him I was really sorry because I felt like I let him down. I felt like I'd let him down because I had presented to him in a series of projects simple solutions that got to my end goal. And my end goal was to preserve as much budget as possible, do it as quickly as we could, and still honor the contract, like sort of expedient ways to get to the end without him really understanding that what I was doing was sort of peeling him away from the harder decisions of actually delivering on the project promise or vision that he had when he first started. Right. So I was, if we think about the creation era, I was trying to sort of, I mean, if we were to put me back in that space again, it would be like me going, oh, no, God, you don't really want to create this earth for humans. You want to create it so that we can kind of support humans, but not right now. and then imagine that God would say, that sounds like a good idea. It would be faster for us to do this, right? And then get an answer. And then we would go down the wrong path and we would get to a place that we didn't want to get to. So anyway, I sat down with him and I said, this is what I have done. And he said, no, look, I made all those choices myself. And I said, no, you made choices. I did. I agree. You made choices. However, the choices that you made were manufactured. They were manufactured by me and I feel horrible about it. And he says, well, okay. Finally, what are you going to do about it? And this was in 2010. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I feel like we have changed. Fundamentally, the thing I'm struggling with is that I think that we're managing projects, we're not leading projects. And I think that part of leadership is to recognize your vision of a project and try to figure out how to get you to your vision if it makes choices along the way. And so he said, well, that sounds interesting. How would you do that? And I said, well, I'm going to go back in the Bible and I'm going to go back, quote unquote, I'm going to go back in the Bible and I'm going to go figure out what God's plan is for leadership. And he said, well, that sounds great. When you get it figured out, let me know. So I went off on this journey and I thought this journey for me was to go figure out biblical leadership. And for lots of different reasons, I wasn't real happy with the John Maxwell stuff. And not that John Maxwell is a bad guy. He does good work. I just wasn't happy with it for me. I was looking for something else. And so I had started in 2010 to do this research and I started from scratch and I was really discouraged because when I got there, I went, oh my word, I have no idea how to put all this stuff together. I really fundamentally don't. And I worked on it 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 from 2010 to 2013. And then finally, late in 2013, for lots of different things, and we'll tell this story differently, or maybe more completely later, I ended up with someone asking me what kind of material I could produce to support them. And, I said, oh, I don't know, let me go home and find out. And when I went home and I sat there and fundamentally prayed about it, all of the other sort of bits along the way, came into one very concise outline. That outline was the book that you guys are familiar with, maybe Business Integrity Matters, the book itself. And when that outline was delivered, it was delivered in a way that God just simply says, you know, these are the eras, here are the parallels. It is your job to go figure out how to communicate this to the rest of the world. However, in the 2010 to 2013 era, talk about discouraged. Every time I turned around, I was trying to write this book and it was just not happening. And then all of a sudden, a completely different question and a completely different answer. And I was looking for the wrong question. And the question was not leadership stuff. It was like, hey, what does God want us to do in business? And so here we are. All that to say, of course, it's discouraging. There's a whole lot out there. It's complicated. There are things that happen in everyone's life that makes it so it's unclear. But I don't want you to be discouraged. Other people have been fighting the fight for you, with you, and now is the time to join forces with them and get in the game. So don't be discouraged. Continue your fight, because your fight is going to be well worth it. And when you finally see, and it won't take very long, when you finally see the, these practical applications, you're going to go, wow, where's this been all my life? And I have seen where people go, oh man, I had no idea that that was there. Like, did you have any idea that the blueprint to create anything is in the first chapter of the Bible? Like step by step by step by step, go back and read it. Read what God said, each one of those steps, and then go, oh, how do I apply that? Oh, okay, we'll start with the end in mind and then work your way backwards, kind of like a GPS, and say, okay, in order to get that, what do I have to do? And like, right, so God's plan, like, create earth for people, right? For my master creation of people. Well, how do I do that? Well, I have to have a system that supports the people. Well, what do people need? What do you and I need? We need air, we need food, we need water. Okay, great. So how do we get air, food, and water? Well, you get air and water. He created that, right? So that's all there. And then we created food. Well, on the food side, we have plants and animals. Well, you can't really have an animal without a plant. And you could have plants without animals, but not always, right? Because the animals help with the planting and all that other stuff. So it's good stuff. Anyway, all of this, right? So you back up and you say, okay, now we have human. Before human, now we need plant and animal. And before then, we need soil. And then we need water, right? And so then you go and you look at the plan that God had from start to end, and it's super efficient. All he's doing is saying, hey, look, here's the system that's reproducible, that's needed to support the next step, and I have the end in mind. Awesome. That's great. Let's do that. Let's emulate that. Okay, so if you're discouraged, these are the kinds of things that you're going to see, and these are the kinds of things that are going to be part of this journey we do together. And I'm excited about doing the journey together. So let's do the journey together. All right? So this is what I was afraid of. We're almost out of time, and I want to just sort of not ramble on forever. I'm going to save some of this stuff for another episode. So don't worry, it won't go away. The last question in all of this is, can you tell us where we can find more information and join the journey? And the answer is absolutely. So I would ask that you do two things. First and foremost, two things, maybe a third one. But let's talk about the first thing first, and then the second thing, and then the third thing. All right. The first thing is jump into the Business Integrity Matters Facebook group. There is a group of Christian leaders in there. There's a group of Christian business owners. They're entrepreneurs, faithful workers. I have known for a long time, and they are incredible resources, incredible people, and they're going to make your journey so much richer. And when you start participating, asking questions, making comments, pointing out the things that you are starting to see in the Bible and how it applies to work, it's going to be an amazing thing. All right. So the first thing I would have you do is do that. Jump into Business Integrity Matters on Facebook, into the group. It's a private group. We'll let you in. You don't have to say abracadabra or anything else. We just want to make sure it's private so that we are able to have real conversations about our faith and how it blends in with our work. So that's the first thing I would have you do. The second thing is go to businessintegritymatters.com and register for a free account. Here's why I'm asking you to do that. So there are multiple levels of information on the inside of Business Integrity Matters. However, there's some really good primary information that I want for you to be able to have access to, but I don't want it to be just floating around in the public domain for anybody to have, because you're going through this journey with us, and I want to make sure that you have direct access to it in a way that's super helpful in the content that we're creating here, whether it's podcasts or group chats or whatever it might be. There's additional narrative on the, like, for the creation era, additional narrative on the characters and the places and everything else. And then as we go through each one of the eras that are outlined in the book, you're going to find additional resources at businessintegritymatters.com that you can access directly, and you can get the support that I think that you deserve. All right. So that's number two. And then the third one is, if you believe that it's time to do something different, then I would highly encourage you to pick up Business Integrity Matters, the book itself. It's available on Amazon. Go pick it up. You can get it on Kindle. You can get it on you know, physical printed book. And then if you feel called to, there's a Bible study that goes along with that. There's a workbook for it. We'll get into that stuff later. And in particular, there is a new session that's starting in January. And my hope is that you would be interested in jumping in and doing that. And whether or not, you know, the study has in the past, it has sort of followed me around, and we're trying to do something different in which I don't want to, and I can't be the center of the Bible study. It needs to have a life of its own. However, the resources to support the Bible study need to be all together. And my hope here is that they're going to be together online at businessintegritymatters.com inside of the membership area, where you're going to get all kinds of stuff, especially for the Bible study. And you'll have, you know, supplemental information and worksheets and, you know, all kinds of things that help you out. So first, Business Integrity Matters Facebook group. Second, businessintegritymatters.com, register for a free account. Third, go out and get Business Integrity Matters, the book, and you will have the blueprint that we're all going to be using for the Bible study. And if you choose to go to the Bible study, then there's a workbook for that, and we'll work through that the next time. All right. So until then, may God richly bless you and your business. May He shine a light on what it is He would have you do with your business. And, may He allow you to have a huge impact on your community, your employees, your vendors, your partners. And thanks for trusting me, and thanks for being on this journey with me. All right. God bless you. Take good care of yourself. Talk to you soon.